CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, yes, 10:02 on this Thursday midday. Mark Melusis with you, in for BT and Sal, The Fan in New York, Dobe and Rami across the way. Great to always kick off the morning hearing about Pat's digestive issues and how he struggled through the overnight. Fantastic. I mean, that's the way you kick off a Thursday morning. We got you for the next 4 hours, right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Of course, the number to call, 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Hit me up on social media, on X, at Mark Melusis as well. That's Mark spelled with a C. And you wake up on this Thursday morning post-Christmas, the haze, the celebrations, kids ripping through the presents, Santa obviously hopefully treating everybody well, and the Christmas tree and having a couple libations, whatever it might be. And yesterday, amazingly enough, yesterday was a good day for the NBA as compared to the National Football League. And even though and the stream was fine and the coverage was fine on Netflix, I wasn't exactly locked in. Beyonce did a nice job with her performance as well. But the game stunk. I mean, that's really what it all comes down to. The games were terrible. Kansas City and Pittsburgh was not a particularly entertaining game. After the Freiermuth fumble, that game got out of hand in Pittsburgh, as you had Mike Tomlin after the game calling his team a JV performance. And then you get to Baltimore, who absolutely boat raced the Houston Texans and won that game 31-2 going away. The Lamar Jackson touchdown run that put him up 24-2. Good night, the lights. At our Christmas celebration up at the boards in Westchester, New York, we flipped out a Christmas story. There was nothing else to watch there. Flipped out a little bit of the NBA as well, because the 76ers and Boston Celtics were playing a good game. But yesterday, for all the criticism of the NBA, and we'll get to the Knicks here momentarily, and I've been critical about the product of the NBA, right? And Kevin Durant could say whatever he wants to say, that people don't enjoy people shooting threes and it's become three-point heavy. LeBron even said that a couple weeks back. The product on the court has been a problem when you're looking at the association. That's why you have this in-season tournament, to the criticism of everybody. I get what Adam Silver's going out there trying to do. But the NBA yesterday had themselves a good day. They did. Whether it be the Knicks and the Spurs, Mavs and T-Wolves, 76ers, Celtics, Lakers and Warriors. You got the double bang by Mike Breen late in that game, obviously on the big time three before Reeves won it at the gun. And then you get the Nuggets and obviously the Phoenix Suns. It was a good day. If you sat back and you wanted to compare products, nobody beats the NFL. I get it in terms of popularity. And the NBA's got an issue during the course of the regular season. Christmas Day has always been an NBA day until the National Football League decided to get their beak wet and get involved on Christmas Day. Yesterday, the product for the National Football League, not particularly entertaining, not particularly good, especially the second game. It was non-competitive. The highlight of the second game was Beyonce. That's it. As far as the NBA goes, you got five games, and most of them were entertaining. It was a good day. Christmas Day, Adam Silver wakes up on this Thursday morning smiling, because I don't care what the ratings are, his product on the court yesterday was better than the National Football League. Now, is that going to move any hills, move any mountains, and all of a sudden now the NBA going to overtake the National Football League? It will not. But yesterday was a good day for the NBA. Now to the Knicks. I talked about yesterday as I, woke up early yesterday morning, Christmas morning, and we talked about the popularity of the National Football League, and we talked about the association, we talked about the Knicks, right? And how yesterday for me, in the Melusis household, at least early on, as you had the Chiefs and Steelers kicking off at 1 o'clock, the Knicks getting going at high noon at Madison Square Garden, that in the Melusis household, it was going to be a Knick day early on, and it was. And the reason why it was a Knick day, and I love the NFL, love doing my Football Sunday show here on WFAN each and every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Appreciate everyone listening and love watching the NFL, fantasy football, betting it, all the kinds of things, right? Everybody loves the National Football League. It is the King Kong, right? But yesterday, why were the Knicks at the top of mind? Because I'm a longtime Knick fan. And this Knick team is an absolute blast to watch. And I understand, you look at it, the schedule, they're 20-10. You know, they're trailing the Cavs and the Celtics in Boston, lost yesterday, the Philadelphia 76ers. But they're trailing the Cavs and Celtics in the Eastern Conference, sitting in third in that conference. But yesterday is Victor Wembanyama, who is going to be in, you know, who's already an absolute star, and is just, as Josh Hart talked about after the game yesterday, he is different. As Victor Wembanyama went out there and gave you 40-plus for the San Antonio Spurs, it was the Mikal Bridges day on Christmas Day early at Madison Square Garden. And it was fun to watch as he dropped in 41 points, as he was 6 of 9 from behind the arc, as he played 43 minutes, as this Knick team went out there and won yet another game to get themselves 10 games over the 500 mark and beat the San Antonio Spurs by the final count of 117 to 114. And this Knick team this year, as a longtime Knick fan, fun, entertaining. Are they perfect? No. Are there issues when you look at this team defensively at times? For sure. Do they make up for some of those defensive deficiencies to what they were offensively? Absolutely. To all those, and you know, and I've given credit to Leon Rose and give him a ton of credit. Has an understanding of what Tom Thibodeau needs in players, guys that are willing, that aren't going to bark back at playing a ton of minutes, that aren't going to bark back at effort, aren't going to bark back at, you know, and look at, you know, load management and want days off and all of these things that we've seen that has been the blight of the NBA overtaking the league to where it's affected the product on the court. Give Leon Rose credit. He's provided Tom Thibodeau players that are going to lean into it. Thibodeau and Towns have made up after the falling out in Minnesota. They acquired Towns from the T-Wolves during the course of the offseason for Julius Randle and obviously Dante DiVincenzo. You look at what Jalen Brunson has meant to this organization since his arrival from the Dallas Mavericks, the acquisition and trade from Josh Hart, the acquisition from the Toronto Raptors of OG Anunoby, you know, the development of a guy like Deuce McBride, the acquisition of Precious Achiuwa, the things that this Knick team has been able to do. You need the health of Mitchell Robinson at some point in time to prevent a little bit of rim protection, to prevent guys from being able to have easy access and little bunnies inside the lane, right? You want to prevent that if you're the New York Knicks. You got to get a little bit better defensively, because is this team right now playing championship-style defense? No. Do they have to at this point in time, sitting here in late December? They do not. When do they need to start playing championship-style defense? When do they have to really batten up the hatches? Yes, when the schedule gets a little bit more difficult, for sure. But more importantly, when we get to the NBA playoffs. And it was a Knick day early in the Malusis household, because I can't tell you the last time I've been more excited about a Knick team. And last year was a blast. Last year was a lot of fun. No question about it. Last year, watching people that criticized the Jalen Brunson signing when the Knicks brought him over from Dallas, having to eat one piece of crow after another. You know, those that criticized and mocked the Knicks and mocked Thibodeau and the minutes police that were running around New York City and all that. Last year was a blast. Watching the Knicks do their style, be dogs that they are, as Lou Gower talks about all the time, defensively doing what they do, winning games ugly at times, but having a finisher like Jalen Brunson, it is refreshing to watch the New York Knicks nowadays as compared to what we have witnessed here year in and year out of them getting in their own way. And they got in their own way because the owner, in James Dolan, thought he knew the NBA, as we've discussed it time and time again. And Leon Rose, as we look across this landscape in New York City, and you look at, you know, where the Giants are, where the Jets are, I mean, where Chris Drury and the New York Rangers are, where Lou Lamoriello is, not necessarily New Jersey Devils, because it doesn't play to the point that I'm about to make. The Brooklyn Nets, right? Sean Marks, amazingly enough, still running things now with a new head coach and Jordy Fernandez out there in Brooklyn. But as we watch and look at some of the executives, Brian Cashman with the Yankees, David Stearns and the New York Mets, if you look at the executives in this city, some successful, some not so much. Give Leon Rose a ton of credit for what he has been able to do here and the job that he's been able to orchestrate with this Knick franchise. It's refreshing. It is refreshing. I said a couple years ago that I said at the night on social media when they acquired Carl Anthony Towns, another great move. Why? Because if you look at it, and I was a Julius Randle supporter, I really was. And nobody didn't, there wasn't anybody that wasn't a Dante DiVincenzo fan. And I think a lot of Knicks fans were forlorn at the idea that you were not going to see the quartet of former Villanova stars, whether it be, you know, play together here in 2024, 2025 with DiVincenzo, Hart, Jalen Brunson, and Mikal Bridges. But with all of that, what the Knicks were able to acquire in Karl Anthony Towns enabled this Knicks team offensively to take it to another level. And that's what you've seen. And the initial results of the Mikal Bridges trade for the New York Knicks was not all that great. But yesterday, it reaped the benefits. Yesterday afternoon at Madison Square Garden, you saw Mikal Bridges drop in 41 points on Christmas Day as the nation watched. And I know there are limitations to him. I really, and maybe the transition here with the Knicks has not exactly been as brilliant as you expected early on. But yesterday was a tremendous performance and a sign of what this Knicks team potentially could be. Not saying San Antonio is this wonderkin of a basketball team. They're not. Wembanyama is an unbelievable basketball player. Really an outlier when you look at his size and what he is. And the way that he makes Karl Anthony Towns look small on the basketball court. Like, it's an amazing to watch a guy that's 7'5", 7'6", go out there and play basketball. Crazy. And we've seen guys taller. I mean, we've seen guys that are that size, but not with his athletic ability and skill. You can only beat the teams that are on your schedule. So if the Knicks had a favorable run of teams that they've gone up against as of late, yes, but that's what good teams do. They beat those bad basketball teams, those under 500 teams. And as this season does go along for the New York Knicks, they're going to get better and better. Defensively, as they get Mitchell Robinson back, they're going to get better and better. If Mitchell Robinson is able to stay healthy and with the right tweak here or there by Leon Rose, who's been a maestro in the job that he has done here for the New York Knicks, this Knicks team is capable of getting through the Eastern Conference and getting themselves to an NBA Finals. That's all on the drawing board. That's a possibility. And it has been a long time since the days of Pat Riley with Pat Ewing, with Patrick Ewing and Oakley and Starks and Derek Harper, and Anthony Mason and that group. It's been a long time, and there was always Michael. Aside from the time that he decided to go play baseball, there was always Michael standing in the way with the Chicago Bulls. Now it's going to be, you know, Tatum and Brown and the Boston Celtics. Now it's going to be Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. It potentially could be, you know, Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers, that group standing in their way in the Eastern Conference. But there's not going to be a team that this group is incapable of beating in a seven-game series. And that's refreshing to say. And that's the truth. So as we celebrated Christmas yesterday, and hopefully enjoyed it, as you put together all the toys, as Santa arrived and hopefully enjoyed your friends and family, hopefully there was no fighting, hopefully there was no arguing, hopefully you enjoyed your day. Maybe you had the NFL on in the background on Netflix, as the product was absolutely brutal yesterday afternoon, especially that second game. Beyonce saving the day. 31-2. Not exactly championship quality football you're watching, as Lamar and the Ravens had their way with C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. Early on, the Knicks fan got a little bit of a gift, a little bit of a present of what this franchise is going to be the rest of this season. 20-10, 117-114 over the San Antonio Spurs. And it wasn't Brunson, it wasn't Towns, it was Mikal Bridges. Fun.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 10:23 on this Thursday midday. Mark Malusis with you, the Fan in New York, in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Knicks, the theme early. Queensbound we go. It's David. It's the Fan. What's going on, David?
Hey, Moose, how are you doing? Happy holidays. I want to lay out a scenario for you where I can see the Knicks really getting the one seed here. I know it's early, and then we got a lot of basketball to play. Cleveland looks good. You know, Boston does, for, you know, let's just take Boston now first. You know, they don't look like the type of team that could repeat. You know, we're in the middle of watching a team that just repeated and looks like they might, you know, three-peat with the Chiefs. And, you know, Boston doesn't look like that team to me. And Cleveland, you know, has a history of not staying healthy with Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, they just don't feel like a one-seed team. And, you know, I was at the game yesterday. I took my daughter. And just watching that team play, the way that they, you know, when you have a team like that that doesn't rely on the starters and, you know, the Cat's able to sit. And by the way, I was right in that corner and I was watching him. He was not happy. And I would look out for, you know, whoever's in Orlando, Vucevic, he's gone. Whoever the Orlando center is, you know, should be watching out because he's going to have himself a game. You know, he was not happy to be sitting at the end of that game. But when you have a team that does that and is able to have different lineups at different times comfortably and win a ball game like that, and you have a Mikal Bridges just step up and have himself a game and, you know, say, I don't want, you know, Wemby and all these years of players coming to the Garden and showing up and putting up numbers, you know, I'm going to do it. And he did it, and that's going to be a memorable game for a long time. This is a team that could finish with a one seed. And when you have that one seed, that's a team that can win a championship. And, you know, it just feels like this is our year. You know, it feels like we have the right pieces, and it's just really exciting.
Yeah, David, listen, I don't know if they necessarily need to get to the one seed. I think it's interesting when you look at Cleveland. You know, the last time, you know, we've seen the Knicks push the Cavaliers around when they were built differently. That's not the way that this Knicks team is built. So, you know, you look at Cleveland now, you know, they're 26-4 on the season through 30 games. We've got a long way to go here in the NBA regular season. Obviously, health, injuries, all those things factor in. I don't think the Knicks necessarily have to have the number one seed in order to get through the Eastern Conference. But if they stay healthy, like I mentioned in the open of the program, is, you know, Bridges with the breakout game yesterday. You know what you're going to get from Brunson. You know what you're going to get from Karl Anthony Towns. Hart is a guy that, you know, does a lot of the dirty work. Achiuwa fills a role on this team. You know, they're not all that deep. When you look at it, you'd like to add you'd like to get Mitchell Robinson back and for him to stay healthy on this group. But there's nobody in the Eastern Conference that scares me as in years gone by, to where you say to yourself, the Knicks can't conceivably beat that team. Even the Boston Celtics, even though I love Brown and Tatum, you know, and they finally won their NBA title last year. You know, I don't know if I necessarily would say Boston can't repeat when you have a dynamic duo of that caliber.
Right, I hear that, and I'll just say one other thing is that when you have a team that has this type of coach that, you know, you love the way that they ended that game yesterday with those offensive rebounding, you know, it really kind of rounds everything up, and, you know, the experience and the grit, and I don't know, maybe I'm just excited, maybe I'm overreacting, but I think there's a lot to be excited about.
Oh, there is. I mean, and listen, David, it's great to be a Knick fan. I mean, it is. You know, you wake up early. It's the holidays, Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, all the things, right? So everything that we're looking at during the holiday season, you wake up early yesterday, you know, and you got a noon tip time at Madison Square Garden. You watch a little New York Knick basketball, and they make you proud. They make you excited. They make you dream about the possibilities of where this season is going to end and what they potentially could accomplish come playoff time. And you believe in this group, and there's none of the nonsense. You know, great leadership. There's no leaks. There's no complaints about minutes. There's none of that stuff. You know, it's refreshing. It's like you're watching the complete opposite of what you saw for 20 years with the Knicks. Sometimes you have to rub your eyes and say to yourself, is this really happening? Is this really right in front of you? You don't necessarily trust it, but it's true. It is. It's great. It's fun. It's good to be a Knick fan. Madison, New Jersey, we go. It's Sonny. What's going on, Sonny?
Hi, guys. Happy belated Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Happy Hanukkah. Man, all I want to say about my Knicks is, number one, Big Cat, when he drives the lane with that one-handed dunk, we haven't had a Knick like that in so long. It's like, I mean, it sometimes it scares me because I'm like, are we this good? Can we possibly do what we did all those years ago? Like, if we win five in a row, then lose one, then go on a three, we could win four in a row, lose one. I think we have a Tatum and Brown on our team. I'm not scared of them. between Brunson and Big Cat. And now with Mikal Bridges finally finding what he needs to do, especially with OG, we got a great team.
Yeah, there's a lot to like. I mean, Brown and Tatum are different. I wouldn't compare them to Brunson and Towns, but you're looking at terms of duos. Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're just different players.
Fine.
But there's a lot to like, especially if you are going to get a consistent Mikal Bridges with what OG Anunoby can do offensively, but specifically what he can do defensively. And then you throw Hart into the mix as well, being a great rebounder for the guy his size and do a lot of the dirty things, for sure. The development of a guy like Deuce McBride, Precious Achiuwa, for sure. Would you like a little bit better rim protection? Hitting the defensive offensive rebounding, even though that was not an issue yesterday against the San Antonio Spurs, and you liked what you saw toward the tail end of the game, but it's been an issue this season. So those are a couple of the things you'd like to look at, and the Knicks have been one of the more dynamic offensive teams in the NBA through the first 30 games this year.
Real quick, and I'm sorry, I know you're going to cut me off, but when we got rid of Hartenstein, I thought, oh my God, there goes the Knicks, because between Josh Hart and Hartenstein, I was telling him, actually, like, you're seeing Knicks. Like, this is what the John Starks years was. They're fighting, like, rebound. If we get Mitchell Robinson, let me ask your advice. I want real advice. Do you want Mitchell Robinson back?
Yes.
And if we do, are we going to play Twin Towers?
Yeah, Sonny, I think there would be a spot where they'd probably be on the court at the same time together. But yeah, you'd like to get Robinson back, but Robinson better in theory than reality. Robinson, when he gets back healthy, then the question is, can he stay healthy? Can he be available? Is he going to be on the court? Jersey City, Ron, the Fan. What's going on, Ron? Ronnie.
Hey, okay.
Ron. Yeah, Ron's not paying attention. Lynchburg, Virginia, we go. It's Chris. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Moose. Happy holidays. Always good to talk to you, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris. How about yourself, buddy?
Doing good. Like I said, loved your opening monologue. I think the NBA was so much better than the NFL yesterday.
Oh, it's not even close. Even though
my Celtics lost to the Sixers yesterday, that drove me nuts a little bit. But
it was a great game. I love the look of Jaylen Brown yesterday wearing the red pants underneath the green jersey. Fantastic.
Yeah, no. That was a good combo. I just can't stand. Out of all the teams, I can't stand the Sixers when they win in Boston. It just drives me nuts because
NBA needs a. Yeah, we all hate Philadelphia. Yes, I agree.
Yeah, for sure. But no, I just want to call because because I know all the Knicks fans. Again, great win yesterday. You have every right to feel confident. I do think at the end, when all said and done, I think the Eastern Conference Finals in late April, early May, or whenever it is going to be Boston and the Knicks. I think the Knicks are the most challenging team of the Celtics. However, I'm still not convinced yet that New York can beat Boston four times. Can they beat them two times, three times, four, six, seven games? Yes, but I'm just not convinced yet. We'll see. Like I said, we still got plenty of time, but I just think New York and Boston will be the last two teams standing, in my opinion. What do you think?
Chris, get me there. Get me to that series. To that series. Is it? I mean, you're a Celtic fan. You're confident. You believe in your group. You have every right to be. They just won an NBA title. Yeah. You believe in Tatum and Brown. You say, but I agree in terms of when push comes to shove, and it also depends on where they might not necessarily meet up. In the Eastern Conference Final, it might be around. But I want to see that series. I want to see Boston, New York, in the NBA playoffs. That's what I want to see.
Oh yeah, I think we got hosed at last year too with the injuries the Knicks suffering Pacers. While Celtics Pacers series was fun, I think that Knicks Celtics last year would have been so much better. But yeah, I genuinely believe the Knicks are the most even biggest threat to Boston in terms of talent and what they have. Just not sold in Cleveland or Milwaukee or Philly. So I do want that Knicks Celtics matchup, and hopefully it happens this year. We'll see, but it's gonna be fun for sure.
Well, Chris, happy holidays. All right, brother.
Thanks.
Always great to hear from you. And you're a confident Celtic fan. You should be. When we get there, you might be right. Maybe the Knicks don't take down Boston. Maybe they only force it to a six games, or maybe we get a deciding seventh game. I just want to see that series. I wouldn't doubt the Knicks wouldn't have a chance to at least make them sweat, no less win it. Stu in Northport, New York. What's going on, Stu?
Hey, good morning, Mark. It's been a long time. You're a Redskin fan, too, correct?
I am a Commander fan, correct, yes.
Yeah. We don't say that word in our house. Going back to the Knicks, the starting five, and I know the guy from the Celtics stole my thunder. Like, I don't see anybody that matches up with the top five of their team, the top five of our team. And then if we get Robinson back, like, even the top six now, like, there's nobody comparable to me in my mind.
I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I wouldn't say that. I think the Knicks have a really good starting five. I wouldn't say that there's no other starting fives in the NBA that don't compare to the Knicks if you run through it. Now, we don't have to bore everybody by running through them, but here's the deal. The Knicks are in the conversation. Like, that's the exciting aspect of it. You know, Stu, that, you know, this isn't, you know, it's not, you know, we're this isn't pipe dreams, right? We're not talking about, you know, the Knicks acquisition of Eddie Curry and seeing if Eddie Curry and Zach Randolph can play together.
Right?
I mean, we're looking at a Knicks team that is actually well run. We're looking at a Knicks roster that offensively has a lot of answers. We're looking at a Knicks head coach that takes great pride in being the Knicks head coach and understanding what it means to coach the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. We have guys that have got chips on their shoulder, like a Mikal Bridges, like a Josh Hart. Obviously, when you're looking at Jalen Brunson, those that poo-pooed and knocked and said he wasn't worth the contract the Knicks gave him and then played to an MVP level last year for the Knicks and has been the unquestioned heart and soul of this franchise. There's no nonsense, no leaks, no BS. None of that is coming from this Knicks franchise.
It's
you know, they've tightened everything up. They're well run.
I mean,
like, they are a well run franchise.
You got Robinson coming back. I don't know. I'm seeing a championship. And what do you think about the Commanders? Are we going anywhere in the playoffs?
I think it depends on the matchup. Listen, take it for what it is. They, you know, this season with Daniels at quarterback, the Washington has found their answer at the quarterback position. Quinn has changed the culture within the building. You know, the Snyder, they fumigated everything from the Snyder ownership era, who was one of the worst owners in the history of American professional sports, regardless of league. So Washington is, you know, is there still work to be done? For sure. Could they?
Yeah.
Do I think they're going to the Super Bowl? No, I do.
No.
No, I do not.
I just want to get past the first round.
I get it. They need a new stadium. The place is still a dump.
Oh, I got $2 billion. All right. Have a good holiday. Thank you very much.
You got it, Stu. Always good to hear from you. And thanks for making the call.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
10:43, Mark Melusis with you. A Thursday midday. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Let's head out to Floral Park. It's Justin. What's going on, Justin?
Moose, how are you, man? Hope Santa was good for you and the kids.
Yeah, Santa was great, man.
Same here. Listen, it's great with the Knicks. I'm loving what I'm seeing, but I got to talk about the bad team that also plays in Madison Square Garden, the New York Rangers.
Sure.
Moose, I called you before the Devil game, and it just got worse. I mean, can we just blow this up and start from scratch? Like, we should never have gotten rid of JD and Gordon. Okay, Drury tried the quick fix. It didn't work with Panarin. Okay, he's a regular season player. He does not show up when money's on the line. They're basically a goalie, and that's it. Adam Fox is okay, but I think he's undersized. Honestly, everybody else should be gone off this team, Moose. I don't know how you feel about that. And I want to just ask you one thing.
Yeah, Justin, that's easier said than done, though. You know, and then you have to get to – I mean, they can't – it's hard for me to imagine this group. Like, we've seen regression in athletes – to see them all crater like this at once would lead you to believe that there's a bigger issue at hand. Well, like, they all can. Like, you look at it. I mean, the fact that you've seen the regression in Fox, you've seen the regression in Kreider, you've seen the regression in Mika Zibanejad. You've seen Will Cully. Will Cully has stepped up and played well this year. Yeah. Trocheck has assumed a leadership role, even though he doesn't have the captaincy C on his sweater. But it would lead you to believe that there's something greater, that there's a bigger issue at hand, which we've discussed and talked about, and just the overall culture within the building led by the president and general manager, Chris Drury. Yeah. So, you know, he took over for Gordon and Davidson, you know, as they got thrown under the bus because he had the edict that, well, go win a Stanley Cup. because James Dolan was being told by other NHL owners that the Rangers are good enough to win a Stanley Cup. Now you look at this group now, they couldn't be farther from it, right? And we're two wins away from a cup final. Now what do you do? Like, the question is, and then, okay, if you want to tear it all down, rebuild and do and go that route, right? The draft and develop and all of that. Well, do you have the president and general manager in Drury? Do you trust him to be able to make that happen?
I do not. And that's why I want him gone, too. But here's my problem. I think Dolan is clueless, and he thinks this guy is great. Like, say the 2.0, who, again, another guy that didn't get us anywhere, got us the one Stanley Cup final in 20 years, okay? So this Dolan does not know hockey, okay? He's lucky with basketball that Leon Rose knows what he's doing. He does not know hockey. Drury is not, to me, okay? He is he's a button-up guy, but I don't think he knows the game, okay? What was the last guy they developed besides Igor? Okay, Coley's a great story. Fox is not our guy. We got him from Carolina. Okay, so where was the last guy they developed? This guy Orphan they keep talking about is what? I mean, is he good? Why is he not up on this team? This guy Perreault they're talking about is supposed to be good. I don't know, Moose. It's just very mind-boggling with this team. And the Devils are light years ahead of the Rangers.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. But here's where the Devils, they paid the price of patience. That's what they did. And they let some of their guys develop instead of having the edict that they had to win a Stanley Cup. So you've seen the development of Nico Hischier. You've seen the development of Jack Hughes. And hey, and listen, let's not make any bones about it. I mean, Hughes is supremely more talented than, say, Kaapo Kakko. But can you look back and say, well, the Rangers did a good job of developing Kaapo Kakko before they traded him to the Seattle Kraken about, you know, 7-8 days ago? No, they didn't. He was actually playing well this year. When you look at his plus-minus rating, I only know he only had 14 points, but still, it was strange when, you know, he was a healthy scratch against the St. Louis Blues in a game that the Rangers obviously still lost. Now you look at this group now, the team that then were through the holiday break, I think their next game is what, the 28th, I think, is the next Rangers game. So they got a little bit of a break here, a little bit of a respite, a little bit of soul searching. You can only hear from, you know, the leaders after the game that, you know, it's you know, that it's on them. They've got to be better. They got to look in the mirror. All the things you're hearing from the leaders of this team, but nothing changes. The results are the results. And the team that they put on the ice on Monday afternoon was just non-competitive. Middletown, Delaware. It's Tony. It's the Fan. What's going on, Tony?
Yeah, hey, Moose. Can I give you two quick points?
Sure.
All right. So the first one is, I'm a Knicks fan, but I just have to say, relying on Mitchell Robinson is like relying on Andrew Thomas on the Giants. I mean, it's just, you know, the guys, neither one of them are going to ever finish a full season. And, you know, not reliable, can't be relied upon, you know, down the stretch for anything. So just get Mitchell Robinson out of your mind for any hope for him dominating in any fashion. I mean, that's just why
I'm not even looking for dominating. You're 100% correct, because it seems like the next injury for Mitchell Robinson is just right around the corner. It's the next time he steps on the court. I'm not looking for him to dominate. Can he fill a role?
Yeah, okay, that's cool. I accept that. And then the second one is the Giants better not take heed to Al Davis nor Herm Edwards' words, either just win, baby, or we play to win the game. The Eagles are going to try to sucker you guys out of the first pick of the draft, and they better not fall for that trap in that last game of the season and win, and then we end up with, like, the fifth pick in the draft. Don't be stupid, Giants. You got a chance to turn it around, Shane, and not look like an idiot.
Tony, does it matter? Like, it doesn't really. Now we're going to get into this is where we're at here.
That's where we're at.
Like, think about how depressing that is. Like, we just got the holidays, New Year. We're ringing in 2025, and the message is to the Giants is don't get in your own. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're going to lose.
Jaden Daniels, turn your franchise around. So we need a quarterback, and we got to give the first, one of the top two.
I agree with you, but this was something that was floated out there a couple days ago that, you know, the Eagles have got nothing to play for, you know, that they'll rest guys and they might do one in, just like when Peterson a couple years ago played Nate Sudfeld. Remember that? I think it's just all nonsense. I do. Like, I don't think it matters. Like, this whole conversation about, like, Giant fans, what do you root for? I don't, you know, you show up and you root for your team to lose. Well, nobody's showing up to MetLife Stadium now. Who's exactly going to be in attendance on Sunday when the Indianapolis Colts come to town? And it really doesn't matter. Like, at this stage, it doesn't matter. Believe me, I mean, if Brian Daboll really believes that he is coaching for his job, and some would say, yeah, that's fair. They've lost 10 straight. When you look at the disparity in talent level, the Eagles can't rest everybody. It doesn't work that way in the National Football League. So there are going to be some guys that do play. They still will probably be good enough to beat the Giants. James in North Arlington, New Jersey, is up next in the Fan. What's going on, James?
Well, Merry Christmas. Thanks for taking my call. It was a great discussion today. I think this is a very good point about, obviously, Dolan, he learned to turn the team over to competent coaching. And I think that's a very important point because, I mean, we see that, obviously, with the Jets, they can't find competent coaching or GM. The Devils, to their credit, have very competent ownership. And that last caller, the ownership of the Devils are going to build a new football stadium somewhere in Washington. And actually, they're going to build a new arena in Philadelphia because you have to own the building. But leadership is it's the most important thing. And I think you would know that more than anything because, again, leadership is able to hire the right people to coach. And without the right leadership, and it seems like the Giants, I don't know what will happen to them because since, like, the 70s when they were totally confused, they had great leadership. And now all of a sudden, they're trying to be like the Jets. So, I mean, what's the world going on here, Ron? I mean, we have some teams with great leadership. I mean, even Lou Lamoriello, when you think about it, he's found out that, I don't know, maybe the owner of the Islanders isn't really a good leader because he can't win. But when you look at the Devils, they have great leadership, great ownership, great general manager. And obviously, the Knicks have found the right person to be in charge, and Dolan has stayed out of the way. The Rangers, I guess that's a lot more confusing. And maybe they just pay too much to a goaltender.
Yeah, I don't. Well, but his contract hasn't even kicked in yet. Like, his contract kicks in next year. So let's look at it that when you're looking at Igor Shesterkin, then the job gets even that much more difficult in a salary cap world in the National Hockey League. Yeah, leadership is important. Culture is important for any organization in order to bring about, and you need talent, obviously, to bring about winning. But yes, I do think that, and I've said it for a number of years now, the Knicks are in a very, very healthy position as an organization. Let's head out to Westchester. It's Eddie. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, what's going on? Just wanted to wish you, everyone a happy holiday. Appreciate the call.
You got it. Thanks for making it, Eddie. What's on your mind? Happy holidays.
Of course. Just wanted to make a couple points on the Knicks. Big positive. I'm happy this is a talented squad, and I think they're playing up to their level. They're not overachieving. This performance is sustainable throughout the year. At the same time, and knowing that chemistry needs to form, the team has gotten together very quickly, the starting five. Take the time now to get some of these bench guys into the game, get them some minutes. I still don't like seeing the five starters playing 38, 42 minutes.
Get the sirens out, minutes, please.
And the last point, I just wanted to make a point on the Giants quickly with Joe Schoen. They got a clear house. He's terrible.
Right.
Terrible decisions over the offseason with Saquon, obviously. Get Chador Sanders in. Get Dion. Get some guys who just want to come to New York to play.
Yeah.
The Mets and the Knicks had that issue over the past decade. No one wanted to come. Now they're hot teams. And just super happy to be a Mets and Knicks fan right now. Hopefully the Giants can turn it around in a few years.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, you're right. It's great to be a Knicks team. Build it and they will come, right? So you look at the leadership. The Mets have done a nice job, and they've got a ton of money and the richest singular owner in Major League Baseball in Steve Cohen. That's a nice spot to be in. That's why you get the 15-year, $765 million contract with the escalators that Juan Soto got to leave the Bronx and go over to Queens. You know, for the Giants, it's, you know, for Joe Schoen, I would not look at it in... You've got to look at it where if you believe in his process, it's become more and more difficult to make an argument for the general manager to remain in the position that he is in. You're going to ask me, I said it a couple days ago, who's on the hotter seat? I think it's Daboll, the head coach, than the general manager. Do I think then it would be a combination of, say, you're looking for a new head coach, that would be Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders coming over to the Giants? I do not. Could I see Shador being the number one overall pick? Yeah. Cam Ward, Shador Sanders. You'd like to be in the position to make have your choice of either of the two, but then the pressure's on. You got to make the right choice. 888-808-1019. That is your number to call. Melusis with you. Dove, Rami across the way. We're rolling right up until 2. It's a Thursday midday. The Fan in New York.